we're beginning a brand new message series that I really believe has the potential to speak powerfully to our lives. And so we're beginning this series, and here's what we're calling it. We're calling it Cleaning House, Getting Rid of the Junk and Reclaiming Freedom. In fact, I would think maybe some of you are a little bit like me in that you have things in your life that you know you would be better off without. You just know they're there, but they're not helping you. And if you could find a way to just get rid of those things, but yet, even though we know that, we know we should let go, we tend to hold on. And does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm talking about like emotions. I'm talking about like beliefs, even especially false beliefs. I'm talking about those things that always overpromise, but always seem to underdeliver. Next week, we're going to be talking about the topic of pride, how many times we know we should just let go of our pride, swallow our pride, but yet we hold on, we're stubborn, and it just never seems to work out for us. We're going to be talking about how this belief sets in. If we could just have more, if we could do more, then maybe we could be more. And then the next week, week three, we're going to be talking about lust. So, hey, whether you are single, ready to mingle, or you have been married for years, this is a topic that touches all of our lives, and it touched the life of King David. We're going to be looking at his story. He's the one that came to God and said, God, would you just create in me a clean heart? Week four, we're going to be talking about resentment. I don't know if anybody's carrying around any resentment that you know you'd be better off if you could let go of it, but yet we're just still kind of dragging it along. Resentment always takes more than it gives. That's week four. Some of the other topics we're going to be talking about are opinions. Who are you allowing to speak into your life? We're going to be talking about comparison. We're going to be talking about past regrets. How do we deal with those? And then the final week, I hope you won't miss this. We're going to be talking about control, the need for control. I don't know if some of you, maybe, you know, you just feel like you need to control everything. That's going to be the week for you. Don't miss that week as we conclude this series. But today, the topic that we're going to be talking about, because here's the thing. None of us struggle with everything, but we all struggle with something. So today, the topic we're talking about is, I believe, somewhat fundamental to everything else that we're going to talk about. I wanted to start with this topic this week, because I feel like it's going to help us, put us in position to be able to deal with some of the other things we're going to be talking about. Here's the topic for today. We're talking about comfort. Now, we're not talking about being comfortable. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable. What we're talking about is the idol of comfort. Okay, so when we put ourselves in position, and basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to constantly pursue a state of comfort, right? Like we want to avoid anything uncomfortable. We want to avoid any pain, and you pursue pleasure only. That's what we're talking about today. Because think about it, we are constantly being sold on comfort. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, we have comfort foods, we have comfort zones, we even have comfort inns. I mean, we are being sold on comfort all the time. And let's be honest, it's an easy sell, right? Come on, let's just be honest. You, me, we like easy. I mean, given the choice between hard and easy, most of the time, we're going to choose easy. In fact, dads, is it not true that one of our favorite places in all of the house is referred to as the easy chair? Come on, you know it's true. Maybe you have one of these. Maybe it reclines. This one reclines. Maybe it leans back. I mean, this is a perfect spot in the house. Maybe you want to take in some reading, or maybe it's a good spot to, you know, play some Minecraft or some Madden. Maybe take in the big game. I think this is so awesome that we have like four remotes here. Do you guys have this situation in your house too? I mean, I like never know which remote is going to do anything. I mean, you just kind of stand there and you just press. I don't think I did that. Okay, maybe I did, and maybe I should just leave that right there. We're just going to leave that right there. I never know what those things are going to do, but the easy chair, it's easy. And yes, it is worn. It is old sometimes. It is maybe a little smelly. Maybe it's not the best. I mean, maybe your wife has tried on multiple occasions to bless someone else with it, you know, get it out of the house because it doesn't match anything else. But for you, it's just comfortable. It's just comfortable. But here's the thing about the recliner. It's a great place to take a short nap, but it's a terrible place to sleep. I don't think we really needed research for this, but research has shown that if you stay in a recliner too long, it has been known to cause leg and back pain. True story. It has been known to cause loss of balance. It's been known to cause poor circulation. It's even been known, if you spend too much time in a recliner, it has been known to cause irritability. Who knew? Apparently, too much of a good thing is not a good thing at all. You see, because we weren't designed, we weren't created to stay in a recliner. And we also weren't created, and we weren't designed to stay in a constant state of comfort. This is so fundamental. This is so important, especially if you are a Jesus follower, or today you are considering becoming a Jesus follower. This is so important because we weren't created to stay in a constant state of comfort. If you follow Jesus, then you follow the one who said, come follow me. I mean, think about that. Here's what he didn't say, or at least I haven't been able to find it. Maybe you can. He didn't say, stay, think about me. He didn't say, stay and talk about me. He didn't say, stay, study about me. He said, come follow me. There's something in the very nature of his request, the very nature of his invitation that suggests to us, don't get too comfortable. Throughout the ages, God has called people into relationship with him. Throughout the ages, we can see our ancient ancestors of the faith being called into relationship with God. And many times when they were being called into something that they didn't know what it was going to be. It was unknown. It was uncertain. Many times, it was uncomfortable. That's the way it was for Abraham. If you have your Bibles or your phone apps, I want to encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at Abraham. Maybe you're familiar with Abraham. Actually, he was Abram at this point. And I want to give you, as you're turning there, just a little bit of a context for chapter 12. At the end of chapter 11, we find out a few things about Abram. We find out that he grew up in Ur in southern Mesopotamia with his father, Terah. And they had since moved from southern Mesopotamia, from Ur, to Haran, which was northern Mesopotamia. He moved there. Before that, he lost a brother, Haran, and Haran's son was named Lot. So Abram's nephew Lot was traveling with him. And we find out one other detail. It seems like a small detail. It's just a sentence there. You can pass over it really quickly, but it turns out to be huge in the story. Abram's wife, Sarah, or Sarai at the time, was barren. She had had no children. Now, the ancient reader, this would have been not significant. It had been insignificant to them. They would have passed right over it. They would have dismissed Abram's family because Sarah she had not had any children. No line, no lineage, no family tree. In the ancient times, this would have been like nothing to see here. Moving on. But God, he had different plans. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now, I want to just stop right there for just a second and just acknowledge the fact that God, what God is calling Abram away from. He's calling him away from his country. I mean, this is everything he had ever known. And he's calling him away from his extended relatives, his kindred, his family. And he's also calling him away from his father's household. As we're going to find out here in a minute, Abram is 75 years old at this time. 75 years old. That's long enough to settle and to get comfortable in your ways. That's long enough to, I don't know, maybe build up a little nest egg. That's long enough to get comfortable. And now God is calling him out of that comfort into something unknown. He already doesn't have any children, and now God's calling him away from what he does have. And for what? A promise that, as we're about to see, makes no logical earthly sense. Look at this. Here's the promise. God says to Abram, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Okay? I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now remember, this promise is to someone who has no children. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for a land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Can you imagine the kind of relationship that Abram had with God? Maybe you can. The kind of faith that it would take just to pick up and go somewhere that you didn't know where you were headed. The kind of courage it would take to move on a promise that was highly unlikely, to say the least. And let's be honest, I mean, it was a 500-mile, one-month-long road trip. Now, friends, that is hardcore. But the Hebrews writer would say, above all that, it was his faith. Don't miss this. Look at what the Hebrews writer says. Chapter 11, by, what does it say? Faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. The Bible is full of people who moved when prompted by God, even though they didn't know where it would take them. It's full. In fact, I would encourage you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. That chapter alone is full of people, whether you're looking at Abel or Enoch or Noah or Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, all these that we look at, by faith they did this, by faith they did that, by faith. And one by one we see in this chapter of Hebrews 11, people who by faith were able to, well, here's what they did. They let go of their own self-sufficiency to the extent that God was all they had left. Here at Oak Hills, we have six core values. One of our six core values is God dependence. It's actually our first core value. When we were looking at these, we said this one has to be first, because if we don't get this one right, the rest of them just don't seem to work. God dependence. Here's what we believe. We believe that we should live fully surrendered to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. These ancestors of our faith, these heroes of our faith that we read about and that we celebrate today, we don't celebrate them because they were somehow superhuman. We don't celebrate them because they somehow found the secret to the meaning of life that the rest of us are still, no. We celebrate them simply because they allowed God to guide their steps every step of the way, to take them where he wanted them to go. So here's a question. I think this is an important question for all of us to ask. Who's guiding you? Who's guiding you? Like if the Holy Spirit were gone from your life tomorrow, just like that, would you feel it? Would you know it? Would anyone else around you go, well, something is way off? Would everything come to a screeching halt, or would you just kind of go through your day the way that you've always gone through it? And here's why I think this question is so important for us, especially in this country where we've been so blessed. But here's the thing. We've been so blessed that it's easy for us to fall into self-sufficiency. You see, we can just kind of go through our day in a way that what happens is day after day we moved more towards independence and day by day farther and farther away from God dependence. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me and my family. So I think it is worth asking the question, who's guiding you? This is key if we want to be people like we read about, people who walk by faith and not by sight, and I believe that we can. But today I want to give you three things that I think will help us with that. Three challenges, if you will. The first challenge is to embrace calling. Now, calling may not mean that you pick up and move to the next state. It might, but it might not. And calling is not like that one big moment in life, you know, like your destiny, and if you miss it, you missed everything. It's not like that one big moment in life. Calling is more like that moment by moment life. You know what it's like? It's like when you get that nudge in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, and it can happen any place and it can happen any time. That's calling. That's the way it happened for Stephanie. Stephanie found herself, she was sitting in a worship service just like this when we made the call for online small group leaders. And her first thought was, you know, I think I could do that. There was something in her that thought, I think I'm supposed to do that. But as soon as she started to sign up, you know how it goes, the fear starts to well up and the what ifs start to set in. That's what happened for Stephanie. She started thinking, well, what if I don't know what I'm doing. Wait a second, I don't know what I'm doing. So what if people know I don't know what I'm doing? What if I freeze? What if this doesn't work out? What if no one shows up? She even had a plan. She was like, okay, if I just totally freeze, then I'm just going to turn my camera off and pretend like I'm having technical difficulty. I mean, come on, let's not pretend like our minds don't work like this, but that's what happened for her. But here's what happened for her. She took a step of faith. She took a step over her fear, over her discomfort, into her calling for that moment. Here's what happened. She ended up starting this group and making a couple friends who she told me she thinks she's going to be doing life, partnering with these couple of people, best friends for life, for the rest of her life. Here's the thing. She would have never made those connections had she not been willing to step over some discomfort. Here's why I wanted to talk about this today, because I think sometimes if we have this belief that life is just supposed to be easy, if it's just supposed to be comfortable, and suffering and pain is something that we're not supposed to have or something we're supposed to avoid, sometimes what we do is we avoid anything that is painful, and consequently, we miss out on God's blessing. We miss out on the good stuff on the other side of the bad stuff because we weren't willing to go through it. And I don't know what God may be calling you to today, but students, maybe what God is calling you to right now, and really this isn't just for students, this is for all of us, but maybe God is calling you to be bold in your faith. Maybe God is calling you not to hide your faith. I mean, you know how this goes. You figured out how to be one person at school and one person at church, and you want Jesus, you love Jesus, but you also want your friends, and you love your friends, and you just want to keep them separate because it's just more comfortable that way. But you sense you were called for more. You sense something within you that says, this isn't what you were called to, that Jesus wants more. And maybe what you're being called to is to let Jesus begin calling the shots regardless of who you're around. I know, it's bold, it's uncomfortable, but maybe that's what you're being called to. Maybe you're in a dating relationship and you know this relationship, it's not bringing you closer to Jesus. In fact, in those moments where you're really, really, really honest with yourself, you know it's taking you farther away from Jesus. And you just know God is calling you away from a bad relationship. Or maybe it is a false belief. Maybe it's that belief that you'll never overcome what you've done. And God is wanting to call you away from that. Maybe you've been listening to a voice of condemnation, and God is gently trying to say, my son, my daughter. That's not my voice. Therefore, there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That's not me. Hear my voice. Be drawn to my voice. But for whatever reason, we just keep holding on to the things that we know aren't good for us. You know what it's like? It's kind of like the old recliner, because we know that it's not best. We know it's not the best. It's worn. It's tired. But we hold on to it simply because it's what we know. Simply because it's familiar. We know we could do better, but this, it's just more comfortable. If that's you, my prayer throughout this series is that we're going to be able to let go of some things. Because God is saying to you, I got something for you, and it's better. If that's where you find yourself, I've got a second challenge for you. And as we go to this one, don't throw anything at me. You're worshiping online, don't throw anything at your TV or your computer screen. But here's the second challenge. Embrace change. Okay, I know. You had all the change that you want for a lifetime. I mean, we've experienced change in our jobs. We've experienced change in our health. Every single one of us have experienced so much change in just our routine. But I'm not just talking about any kind of change. I'm talking about the kind of change that is guided and prompted by the Holy Spirit in your life. Here's some research. It probably won't surprise you, but 1 in 3 people would avoid change if they could. Almost 2/3 of people say that uncertainty about the future worries them. But here's the thing about change. Nothing changes when nothing changes. Now, we're not advocating for change for change's sake, but this change that is prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit. And I think this is important for us to think about, and here's why. Because maybe you're like this. I know I hear a lot of people who want to see change in our world. And we long for change, and we pray for change. And I hear a lot of people talking about they want to see change in their family. They want to see change in their country, change in their church. And those are all good things. And I would recommend bring those requests to God, put them before him, lay them at his feet, and ask that he would change those things. But friend, before you get up off your knees, could I invite you to pray one more prayer? And that is, change me. Don't forget to pray the prayer, change me. Begin with me. Start right here, God. I know it's not comfortable. In fact, let's be honest, it's a dangerous prayer. You start praying, change me, it's a dangerous prayer, because here's what will happen. Jesus will come into your life, and he will begin to clean house, and he will begin to remove the junk, and here's what he's going to replace it with. He's going to replace it with his love, and when he does, hold on. It will rock your world. It will rock your world, especially if you've been playing at church, especially if you've been settling for a counterfeit cultural Christianity. You know what I'm talking about. Because here's what Jesus wants to do. He wants you to let go of the counterfeit, and he wants you to take hold of the real thing. Here's the real thing. 2 Corinthians, for Christ's love compels us. That's the real thing. Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Who died? Okay, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. When Christ's love gets inside of us, it changes us. It compels us. I thought about a small group of people who got together over 60 years ago who were compelled by Christ's love, and it's the reason we're here today. They planted a church that came to be known as the Oak Hills Church. You see, it was Christ's love that got into somebody that launched ministries like SA Hope Center and Project Red and Habitat for Humanity. Here's what happens. Christ's love gets inside someone and then changes them. And guess what happens? Everything around them begins to change. That's how the world changes. Because Christ's love changes everything. Nothing changes when nothing changes. But when Christ's love gets inside you, everything changes. Who's up for some change like that? I know it's a dangerous prayer. God, change me. Here's the third challenge. Embrace God's comfort. Every week, we want to encourage each other to let go of the counterfeit and to take hold of God's authentic, to take hold of the real thing that He intends for us. And God intends for us His comfort. God's comfort is the OG. Look at this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all. What? Say it with me. In fact, every time you see something highlighted, just say it out loud with me, if you will. We're going to continue. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Stay with me. There's more. Here we go. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Hang with me. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And we're not done yet. Here we go. One last one. And our hope for you is firm. Because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our, come on, comfort. That was a lot of comfort. But I love this passage. I love this passage so much. This is the passage I have lost count of how many times I've shared it with somebody at a bedside, someone at a graveside. And I want to speak, if that's where you find yourself right now, I want to speak to you for just a moment. I think this is so important for us to understand that the God of all comfort will comfort us in all of our troubles. Okay, so notice what it didn't say. It didn't say that God will comfort us by removing all of our troubles. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He doesn't. It also doesn't say that if you're finding yourself in trouble, if you're having troubles, if you're suffering, then something's wrong or you've done something wrong. No, it does not say that. I can't find that anywhere in Scripture, but what I can find everywhere in Scripture is that when trouble comes, so does God's comfort. Trouble will come, but so will God's comfort. And here's the thing about God's comfort. You see, the world's version of comfort, we might be able to enjoy that for a fleeting moment, but God's comfort, it multiplies itself, because here's what this passage just told us. When we are comforted in the midst of our trouble, then that comfort overflows to others around us. And then they begin to experience that comfort. Maybe they're going through the exact same trouble that we found ourselves in. Okay, we've all had troubles, but then God comforts us and He gets us through that. And then somebody else is coming along and we have the opportunity to comfort them with God's comfort when they're going through the same troubles that we did before. Here at Oak Hills, we are disciples who make disciples. This is why this is so important for us, because we're bringing other people along and God is saying, go for it. We are disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. You can guide people because God is right there and He is just pouring out abundant comfort for those who are in trouble. If that's where you find yourself, I would encourage you, go back to that passage, 2 Corinthians 1. Go back to that passage and just read it. Let it soak in. as we close, I need to be clear. There's nothing wrong with a recliner. I say that because I want mine to be there when I get home today. There's nothing wrong with the recliner. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable. But just remember, we weren't created to stay in the recliner any more than we were created to stay in a constant state of comfort. We were created for, another way to say it, we weren't created for a reclining faith. We've been created for a bold and courageous faith. We cannot produce it. We cannot manufacture it. But the Holy Spirit will place it within us. And if we have the courage to let it be released, it will change our lives and it will change the lives around us. So I want to encourage us. I mean, take time to rest and relax. But there comes a time when it's time to get up, to step up. So I want to encourage us. Embrace calling. Embrace change. And embrace God's comfort. This week, let's be sensitive. Let's be more aware. Let's be sensitive moment by moment to the Spirit's guiding in our lives. It will make all the difference. And let's be willing to pray some dangerous prayers. Like, change me. And it may be painful. I'm going to be honest with you. It may be uncomfortable because what might happen is there might be something that surfaces in your life that you didn't even know was there. It may be painful. It may be uncomfortable. But here's what it will be every time. It will always, always, always be worth it. In fact, church, could we just pray a dangerous prayer right now? Let's just invite right now let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in this moment. Before we leave this place, let's just be sensitive to what He's saying to us right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit because there's so many things we can't do on our own, but You've gifted us the Holy Spirit to convict us, to challenge us, to show us the things that we can't see ourselves. It's easy for us to see the issues in other people's lives, but in our own, sometimes it's difficult. Father, I pray that right now in this moment, Holy Spirit, would You show us? Would You be just gently show us what it is that You want us to see, what You want us to hear? Father, in this moment, I know that there are so many burdens that we carry. Jesus Himself told us that trouble would come, that in this life we would have trouble, but it always seems to surprise us, though we know it doesn't surprise You. We know that You are very close. We invite You, Holy Spirit, into our lives to clean house, get rid of the junk. Father, we invite You in. Make our heart Your home, Your house. You come in and You move the furniture wherever You want to move it. You do whatever You want to do, Father. We are Yours. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the One who died for all. And we thank You in the name of Jesus.